You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Not enough answers, but we keep trying. Chris Sims from Football Night in America will join us coming up. Did the Jets try to lose that game? I have a lot of questions about that call because Adam Gase, the head coach, hears everything that's being called. It's a defensive call by Greg Williams in the final seconds against the Raiders. Adam Gase knows what's being called, and that is a bomb blitz, an all-out blitz. You're sending everybody. And the Raiders had Darren Waller, who was their best wide receiver. He's a tight end, but I think he had 13 catches. They kept him in to block. The fact that your best receiver is going to stay in to block lets you know that you know what the Jets are going to do. And then all it takes is an undrafted rookie who is going to try to cover Henry Ruggs and bite on a double move for some reason, and your secondary is not back by the goal line. And then you have the Jets, who are still winless. Made us nervous a little bit, just like the Jags going into overtime against the Vikings, but eventually these teams kind of show their true colors there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Here's the Jets head coach, Adam Gase, on that defensive play on the last play.
We were trying to create pressure. You know, he hadn't done well with it all game, so, you know, that's what happened. We had a couple free runners, but we didn't get there.
Is pressure even needed in that situation? All you have to do is stop the play from getting to the end zone. Even a short completion would have been okay.
Yeah, that's what we ended up rushing.
Have you talked to Greg about since the game ended about his thoughts?
I just talked to him.
Did he explain his thought process?
He explained his thought process.
Okay, what is that thought process, please? I still don't know. Like, he explained it to Adam Gase. Did the reporter then go, what is his thought process there? You're going to put pressure. Did you talk to your secondary? Did you at least give them a heads up that somebody could get behind you if you fall for a double move? Other than that, use the sidelines as your friend, get them in the middle of the field, and you get a victory. Wasn't the case. The other story, I don't know if it's a story that's evolving as we speak, but it feels like that, and that's the situation in Philadelphia. Is Carson Wentz going to get benched? Because Jalen Hurts showed me enough yesterday against Green Bay, gave them a spark. Let me see what he can do. You drafted him in the second round. I know there's hurt feelings. There's already hurt feelings with Carson Wentz. He had hurt feelings when you drafted Jalen Hurts. It's a big boy business. That can't affect how you play. You know what affects how you play? You. Not you drafted Jalen Hurts and now my confidence is decimated here. Go out and play. I said last week I would sit down Carson Wentz. I would let him sit down for a couple of games because playing him is not helping his confidence. And as I said last hour, your only hope in Philadelphia is Frank Reich convinces ownership, Chris Ballard, the GM with the Colts, let's trade for Carson Wentz in the offseason. Phillip Rivers needs foot surgery. You're going to get everything you can out of him this year, and then perhaps you move on. Maybe you reunite Frank Reich with Carson Wentz. If not, now you got a real mess because you're going to have an unbelievable salary cap hit, $60 million if you cut him, and then the following year, if you get rid of him, $40 million. But you drafted Jalen Hurts. Let's see what he has to do. Let's see what he can do. And it's Philadelphia against the Eagles this weekend. I'd love to see Taysom Hill against Jalen Hurts. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partners, the Fox Sports Radio lineup, and our over 370 affiliates around the country. The Notre Dame quarterback, Ian Book, is going to join us coming up final hour. Chris Sims from NBC Sports will join us coming up as well. Poll question, McLovin, from the first hour.
The first hour, were the Jets losing on purpose, or do you think they were? 59% said no. Then I switched it up to Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes for the MVP. Aaron Rodgers, early leader.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I figure you're not as annoyed by Eagles topic right now for some reason, so I could get in the other topic that annoys you, the NFL MVP.
No, I just think the Eagles need to find out what they have with Jalen Hurts. Yeah. And Carson Wentz is just going to get these bad habits ingrained in him, and then you wonder if he can get it out of his DNA. Mm-hmm. But at some point I have to go, hey, Carson, I'm going to sit you down. Even if you put him on the injured reserve list, just say that he's got some injury there and you put him on the injured reserve list. Like, let him have a graceful exit here. But I need to find out if Jalen Hurts can play. Plain and simple, I thought he provided a spark, and I was kind of surprised. The offensive line looked a little bit better when Jalen Hurts was in there for some reason than Carson Wentz when he was in there. Yes, McLovin.
Another poll option, and we've done this a lot, which coaching vacancy would you be most interested in? Say you're Eric Bieniemy. I think there's a new entry in it. You got the Texans, the Lions, the Jets, maybe the Bears. How about the LA Chargers now? Because they're, I think that's an attractive thing for Eric Bieniemy to have Justin Herbert.
That's an embarrassing. You know, there are a couple of embarrassing losses this weekend. LSU, a 30-point underdog against Alabama, and Alabama covered. And then you had the Chargers. Anthony Lynn is dead man walking there because you're trying to compete. This is the LA market, and you do have some players there. You do have some talent there, but you can't lose 45-0 when the quarterback for the team that had 45 didn't throw for 100 yards. And by the way, I'd hate to be a running back with the Patriots when the ball's inside the five. Because there's no chance I'm getting that ball. None. I think Cam goes, here's the play. I get the ball. Block. Ready? Break. That's it. But Patriots picked up the win. And this time the Chargers didn't blow it in dramatic fashion. I mean, it was over. And they made sure that it was over. 45-0. The Giants have won 4-0. The Giants started out 1-7. This is the longest streak since a 6-game winning streak in 2016. And then you had Colt McCoy, who got the start. His first win as a starter since 2014. He was with Washington back then. And they were the better team. Played great defense. But, you know, there's always a couple of surprises this late in the season. I don't know if you have one tonight. Washington at Pittsburgh. The Bills at the Niners. Dallas against Baltimore coming up on Wednesday. But this is the time of year when you have something that happens where you go, where did that one come from? I don't know if we'll see a surprise. Now, has there been a surprise that's equal to the Giants going to Seattle in a game Seattle had to have because the Rams won again? You're 10.5-point favorites against the Giants with a backup quarterback. Remarkable. But the Giants, they play hard, they play good defense, and they got just enough plays there. Yeah, Paulie.
If I would have told you in late September, early October, that Russell Wilson will again not get one single MVP vote, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, he's out of the mix now. Now it's a two-man game, absolutely, with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And I have no problem with either one of them if they win it. Like, this has been week to week. You know, it wasn't that long ago where we were trying to put Tom Brady in there. Russell Wilson was in there. Ben Roethlisberger was in there. All it takes, it feels like, is one game. You know, Kansas City hasn't looked great. They really haven't. They allow you to stay in the game. As much as we look at that offense and going, boy, they're potent, they don't put you away. And that would be a concern. Not a huge concern, but it's a concern when I get to the postseason. I got to put teams away because those teams are usually a whole lot better than the Denver Broncos. You got to, Carolina Panthers, you got to put teams away. We saw that in the postseason. They could be down double digits. They can come back from that. But they allow teams to hang around, and that could come back to haunt them in the postseason. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State roll. I'm going to bring something to your attention. This is from my Big Ten source. Wisconsin loses to Indiana against their backup quarterback. Nebraska beats Purdue. Iowa, probably the second best team, and they lost to Purdue and Northwestern this season. Michigan State looks like Eastern Michigan. Michigan and Penn State probably won't have a winning record. So how does Ohio State qualify with their best win being Indiana? It will be interesting when it comes to the playoff selection committee. Also, I did check with my source on Jim Harbaugh. There was a report over the weekend. This was by John Bacon, New York Times best-selling writer. He says, as you might imagine, the Harbaugh rumor mill is working three shifts these days. I'm getting a lot of information from good sources, but would always rather be second and right than first and wrong. But you can expect some news soon. One way or the other, stay tuned. And I checked with my Big Ten source, who's been unbelievable this season, and he says he hasn't heard anything to the contrary about Michigan re-upping, extending Jim Harbaugh. And he said, you can't go into this offseason out on the recruiting trail and you don't have a long-term contract. And he said, just based off that, if Jim doesn't get this anytime soon, then Jim Harbaugh will not be back at Michigan. But he said, you know, this is used against you. When you go out on the recruiting trail, these athletes and their parents want to know, are you going to be there? You're the one recruiting him. Are you going to be there? And Jim Harbaugh cannot say that right now. And that is going to be a big, big problem. Just something to keep an eye on. And you know, whatever I find out here in the meantime, I'll certainly offer that up. Yeah, Paulie.
If somehow Ohio State doesn't get to play this weekend, is there any chance Indiana's got a shot from the playoff committee? They beat, remember, these teams at the time, they beat a number 8 Penn State at the time. They beat number 23 Michigan. They came up a touchdown short to number 3 Ohio State, and they gave up no touchdowns to number 16 Wisconsin. They finish up with Purdue next weekend. I know they lost a quarterback, but the resume's there.
It ain't happening.
Yeah. I've reached out for hope.
Indiana is a great story this year. And they probably have the coach of the year, should have the college coach of the year, or at least up there for college coach of the year. Coastal Carolina's coach for coach of the year. But it just feels like the Big Ten is trying to come up with language that allows Ohio State to play for the Big Ten championship. Therefore, go to the Final Four. You know, they want both. And it looks like the Final Four, the playoff selection committee is going to allow that. You know, they don't care how many games you play. It looks like Ohio State is trying to, by whatever means, make sure Ohio State is going to play in the Big Ten title game. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Chris Sims will join us coming up. Josh in Texas joining us. By the way, Texas and Urban Meyer, this feels like when Nick Saban was kicking the tires in Texas, and then remember he was looking for houses, or his wife was in Austin, and then that never materialized because he went back to Alabama and suddenly got a raise. I don't think Urban Meyer is getting a raise from Fox Sports with their pregame show, but the reports now are that Urban is probably not interested in Texas. Hey, Josh, what do you have for me today?
Hey, what up, BP? First time, long time, 6'1", 185. Couple of bests, definitely going on the UT trend. Whooping up on K-State this weekend, 69-31, with Bijan Robinson and Rashawn Johnson combining for 311 yards on the ground on 23 carries, 6 touchdowns, averaging over 13 yards a carry. My other best is going to be my Tottenham Hotspurs winning the North London Derby against Arsenal 2-0. Putting us first place on the table in the Prem, and Harry Kane now holding the record for most goals in the derby for Tottenham of all time.
Harry Kane! It's never just Kane, it's Harry Kane. Kevin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kevin, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, 61201. Hey, I'm calling from Hershey, and I have a best and worst of the weekend. My best as a proud alum, the Penn State football team winning their game versus Rutgers and now having a 2-game winning streak after starting 0-5. My worst actually comes 20 years ago, as this is the anniversary of me playing with a season with the Washington Generals and losing every single basketball game versus the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, how did you get that job, Kevin?
Tryout. I got a tryout and was fortunate enough to have a good 3-hour workout with the with the coach that recommended me to the owner and the general manager of the team. John Ferrari and Red Klotz.
Were you told to lose games?
We played our best. Let's put it that way.
But if it got close, if it got close, now they were obviously more talented, but if it got close, you guys knew what the role was? I mean, it's kind of like the heel in wrestling. You guys got to know what your role is, right?
Yeah, we had to kind of sit back and on our heels and kind of take it on the chin at the end. But if we had a good shooting night, we kept it very competitive and we're close even into the fourth quarter. But we went 0-0 that season.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. By the way, this in from Andrew Brandt, who's one of the sharp NFL minds. The Eagles' commitment to Carson Wentz, 2016 first and fourth round picks, 2017 first and second round picks, contract $27 million in 2016, $17 million signing bonus, 2019 contract $120 million, full guarantees, partial guarantee though in 2022. Earnings to date $80 million. They traded Sam Bradford, let Foles head to free agency. You're all in. Whether you like it or not, you're all in. And the salary cap, that dead money that they talk about, $60 million if you cut him. $40 million the following year. You better hope that Frank Reich goes, you know what, maybe we could get, because you don't have to give the Eagles anything. For Carson Wentz right now, just take him. Take his salary. Just, you know, help us. What do you give? Second-round pick? Third-round pick? Yeah, McLovin.
So the Colts' O-line is amazing. Would that fix Carson Wentz?
Well, if it doesn't, then you can't fix Carson Wentz. But I can't have him play anymore. I don't want to. Because it feels like there's a fragility to him. Like, I'm dealing with a psyche that is really, really dangerous. If it's true, and he was asked these questions. Here's Carson Wentz. He was asked after the game, has drafting Jalen Hurts affected you?
No. I mean, I'm not the type to worry about and look over my shoulder or any of those things. You know, I think at the end of the day, I can play better. We can, as a team and as an offense especially, play better. And, you know, there's always going to be different things going on in the building or different, you know, chatter and all of that stuff. That's part of this business. And, you know, that's what, you know, I think I've said it a couple times. It's what I signed up for. The scrutiny, you know, the challenges, the adversity, all of it. I got to handle it all, the good, bad, and the ugly.
You know, it sounds good, but it's not good. Not. And, you know, it's a question. Like, if you're the Colts, and I said you can have Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz, I'm taking Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold's been through adversity. He's played for the Jets. And they can't wait to get Trevor Lawrence. And somehow, he went out and had a couple of touchdown passes, a touchdown run, and, you know, the game against the Raiders. I haven't heard him, you know, hey, the rumors of Trevor Lawrence, okay, yeah, all right, whatever. Now, granted, the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and he's right there. But you know what? He stays right there if you play well, and they paid you. I can't have a quarterback who is that fragile, who's going like, I don't know, I was bothered by that. And that was the report. He was unnerved that they drafted Jalen Hurts. NFL at that position is really, really tough. You got to put on big boy pants and just go out there and go, okay, all right, whatever it takes, I'm your starting quarterback, and act like it and prove it. But Jalen Hurts, absolutely. Come on down, play a little bit. Let me see what we have here. Because you may find out you don't have a quarterback. And I wonder if you're going to have a coach next year. Doug Peterson. Take a break. We'll talk to Chris Sims from Football Night in America. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. And the Notre Dame quarterback, Ian Book, will join us on loan from Notre Dame in an hour from now. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Built Bar, B-U-I-L-T, Built Bar. I don't want to say stumbled upon this, but I'd heard about this company, and I wanted something that was in between when I got through with work and then I went to work out, or after I worked out. You wanted a protein bar. And they have 16 flavors, 18 flavors, I should say. I've had 16 of the 18 flavors. But, what's great about Built Bars, and even, my wife, because if I bring something home and then I try to kind of hide it, and then she'll go, "Oh, what's that?" And I'll go, "It's a protein bar, for working out. And can I try it?" And then I have three daughters. And then next thing I know, my three daughters are having the Built Bars. And then my son wants the Built Bar. You may go through the same process here because it's that good. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP, get 20% off your first order. Once again, you use the promo code DP, 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Why not eat something that's good for you and actually tastes good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Lace up your boots. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons now. Yeah, I breezed right through it. It was great. Cliffhanger there at the end of Season 3. Update the poll results, McLovin. Then we'll bring in the popular Chris Sims.
Who is your NFL MVP right now? 58%, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, God. I'm fine with Aaron Rodgers. It's just, I hate the topic because it's week to week. But it feels like now it's down to two. So I don't have to deal. It's not, Russell Wilson. It's not Ben Roethlisberger. It's not Tom Brady. But this guy loves Aaron Rodgers. Chris Sims, who joins us on loan from NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk Live co-host on Peacock. Two-man race here for MVP, Chris?
I think so. I mean, Derrick Henry going into the weekend, I kind of put him on the top three, list there. But, of course, yesterday a little underwhelming. And, yeah, I tend – you know me. I mean, yes, I'm a little biased toward Aaron Rodgers. We know that. That's my favorite quarterback ever. I do think he's amazing. And – for what it's worth this year, I really do think right now he is the leader in the clubhouse as the MVP. When you talk about everything he's doing, the support system around him and everything like that, I think it's a pretty amazing year.
If I put Rodgers on the Chiefs and Mahomes, right, and Mahomes on the Packers, how much of a change?
That's a good question. I don't know if there'd be a whole lot changing as far as wins and losses. It might be a little bit of a different way in which each guy goes about it with their own personal flair and things like that. But I still think for the most part, you'd have Kansas City sitting there with one loss. And, maybe Mahomes is better than Rodgers as a pure player right now at this point of his career. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the game. So, I don't know. Okay, maybe they don't lose that Tampa game where Rodgers throws two picks early or something like that. But I don't know if it would be a whole lot different.
Yeah, but I've got Travis Kelce, who Orlovsky said is the best non-quarterback, most valuable non-quarterback in the game. Rodgers doesn't have that. I mean, Devontae Adams is wonderful, but you put Tyreek Hill, you put that 4x100 relay team out there, and then you put Hilaire. They got a good offensive line, offensive-minded head coach, and Andy Reid. I don't know.
I know. You're preaching to the choir here. You know that. I mean, this is something where I do think people lose sight of that fact sometimes that, Mahomes, as awesome as he is, you could talk about Travis Kelce, and honestly – he's the second thing people worry about. When teams play Kansas City, the first guy they're worried about is Tyreek Hill. So imagine having Travis Kelce as the second option. And then when they get Sammy Watkins back healthy, you go, oh, man, now there's another matchup you have to worry about. So for the greatness of Mahomes, you're right. There's phenomenal talent there that sometimes gets lost in translation with that whole conversation.
I do have, it's not a big concern, but it's something I'm just filing away. Kansas City doesn't put teams away.
No, they do not. It's on their offense to put the teams away, right? We know their defense is not it's not built to do that. They have one superstar player in Chris Jones. You know, they have Honey Badger, who makes a few plays here and there, and Frank Clark. And other than that, it's just a lot of good with some really creative coaching by Steve Spagnuolo. But it's the second week in a row, right, Dan, where last week they let the Bucs hang around, wide open 90-yard touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. There's $9 billion on that Chiefs offense. It's on them to put these teams away. And you saw last night with the field goals and not scoring touchdowns, they let the Broncos hang around and never really delivered that final dagger until really, really late.
Did the Jets have a good day yesterday?
Yes, they did. I mean, until the last 6 seconds, but there was a lot to be happy about until then. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That's one of the dumbest calls I've seen in the history of football. It really is.
But the last six seconds were the best part of their day, Chris.
You're right. If you ask a Jets fan, it is. You're right. Because I was sitting here in the NBC viewing room, which, you know, you've sat in it before, and we got a few Jet fans, and they were heartbroken that the Jets were leading late in the football game. They couldn't believe it. They were distraught, and they went crazy happy when the touchdown happened. So, you know, I'm one, Dan, I don't know how you feel, but it seems like most Jets fans are over Sam Darnold and are ready to draft Trevor Lawrence, and they want to start that era. And I think it might be a little bit of a rush to judgment, but I understand the conversation and thought.
Well, I want to get on that rookie contract with my quarterback and then start to build there, get a new coach in there, new defensive coaching staff, all of that, and then see what I have. I was told yesterday, don't be surprised if the Jets would hold on to Sam Darnold one more year if they do take Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know how that would help them. I would think that would just lessen his value for a trade or anything like that. Plus, you don't want Trevor Lawrence coming in and having to deal with some of the faction of the locker room that are Sam Darnold supporters or anything. That wouldn't be a recipe for success. I would think they could get a second rounder for Sam Darnold, you know, at some point in the offseason. The tough thing about Sam Darnold is we don't know exactly what he is yet. You know, every time he starts to play, he gets hurt or he gets mono or then he gets hurt again. So we've never seen extended, consistent, good play from him. I know the Jets, a lot of people there in that organization really think highly of him. But I think, Dan, to your point, this is going to be who's going to start this trend? Who is it going to be? Who's going to be the first team that finally says, you know, we have a good team. And even though we win and our quarterback, he's not the franchise. We're good no matter what. And we're not going to pay him $38 million and ruin our team. Who is going to be the first team to do that? That's really what I can't wait for.
I was also wondering about this when I saw what the Jets did and I went back to the previous drive. So the Jets give up the game winner, double move. There's no help over the top. They go all out blitzing. You know, Vegas was 4th-and-3 in the red zone with 1:45 to go or something like that. They're down 4. Williams called a blitz again, brought 7 defenders, and Derek Carr panicked and, you know, had an incompletion, threw it off his back foot. They had to know they kept Darren Waller in on the final drive, the final play to block. Your best receiver is being kept in to block. So they knew what was happening. They knew Williams was going to send the blitz. I didn't understand an undrafted rookie on Ruggs and with no help and then biting on a double move. Like that.
No.
That I don't understand. Yeah. What role does the coaching staff play in telling these grown men, hey, whatever you do, don't let somebody get behind you?
Well, it doesn't matter because, you know, there's so many things to break down there. You know, first off, yeah, you talk about the pressure in the series before on the fourth down, and he, you know, throws the incomplete pass. Hey, it's a different ball game, right? To blitz down there, you got the end zone behind you. You don't have to worry about deep passes, things like that. To do that where they did, there's so many things. First off, John Gruden probably has better understanding of Greg Williams' defense than any other defensive coordinator in football. My 6 years with John Gruden, man, when we played Greg Williams, he used to call plays every now and then, and I'd be like, man, is he expecting a blitz here? He's crazy if he thinks they're going to blitz. I'd get up underneath the center and be like, man, Johnny Gruden is right. They're going to blitz. Holy cow. I can't believe this. I was shocked by it. So he has great feel. There's a little personal rivalry there. And you're right. Obviously, he knew that. And the poor undrafted corner for the Jets, what is he supposed to do? Yeah, you want to tell him don't bite on any double moves. But if Henry Ruggs catches the slant, he's not going to be fast enough to catch him there and make the tackle either. So he's really was put in a no-win situation. And there's just no other way to say it other than that was just a horrible call. Or, I don't know, Greg Williams was deliberately trying to stick it to Adam Gase and the Jets and wanted to blow the game. I don't know.
Are the Browns a good team or a very good team?
Ooh, I'm still going to go with good team, but the last 2 weeks I'm starting to think, ooh, maybe they are a very good team. They have two elite things about their football team, in my opinion, Dan. The first thing is their run game. You know that. The offensive line is special. They have the best O-line coach in football, and Bill Callahan. And then that two-headed monster at running back. And then the other great advantage I look at them always is they have a front four that can get to the quarterback without blitzing or doing anything like that. And that's going to help in playoff football. When you can run the ball and pressure the quarterback and Baker Mayfield playing with some confidence and not turning the ball over and doing that, they're on the verge, I think, of being very good. But I'm still going to go with good for right now.
And you bring up a couple of really good points when it comes to postseason football. Do you travel? Your running game travels. You got a good offensive line. You got a defensive front that can put some pressure on the quarterback. It's going to come down to Baker Mayfield not getting squirrely. I mean, it really is going to come down to that. I mean, that's Stefanski's done a wonderful job as a rookie head coach, but, you know, I'm with you. The Rams, good or very good?
Oh, I'm still going to say good, too. I think the one part of their team that, you know, I still question a little bit, and Jared Goff was really good yesterday, but when they play really good defenses and they can't run the ball, can their drop back pass game win them football games? I think that's still a question mark for me, but they're on that same thing there, just on the cusp of being very good. I mean, little inconsistent, but that's the interesting about the NFC right now. The NFC, it seems like it's so up for grabs and has a chance, I think, to be a really exciting playoff run because the teams are so close and so equal.
I'm going to make you Doug Peterson for a week. Your starting quarterback against the Saints is?
Oh, I think I would probably go to Jalen Hurts finally. I would do it for two reasons. One, Carson Wentz is a beaten puppy. I mean, it's everything's his fault. Even when it's not his fault, we all blame him. So I think he's kind of like deer in the headlights right now. The team needs a little new energy, new lift. And I think at the very least, okay, if he does well, you go, hey, look, he did well. This is great. But if he fails, you can then maybe quiet some of the critics too, and then go, look, see, he wasn't quite ready yet. Let's just give him time. We'll still play with him and use him in certain situations. But I think if I'm Philly right now, I probably do make that move.
Yeah, I do too. And I wonder the value of Carson Wentz in the offseason.
It's a valid question. I think there's no way they can get rid of him because of the salary cap situation. It's such a big dead cap money. And I think there's still, if Doug Peterson's there, there's still enough believers. I think that coaching staff's realistic enough to know, hey, the kid's got talent. We haven't done the best job with him. And then, of course, Howie Roseman and some of the bust on the offensive side of the ball with draft picks and things like that, it's not exactly talent around him either. So I think they're going to give him one more shot almost no matter what happens the rest of this year.
Yeah, we were wondering about the value of Carson Wentz. And I said value maybe for the Colts and Frank Reich and reunite those two after Philadelphia. I don't know what
it's a good thought.
But Sam Darnold's value on the open market, I don't know what kind of value that would be. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do. I don't know what San Francisco is going to do, what Atlanta's going to
do. Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I know.
I don't know that. I did want to bring this up before we go. Bill Belichick, what he did on the road against the Chargers, I mean, 45-0, and Cam throws for less than 100 yards. I don't know what Belichick is doing. You watch the All-22, so you see whatever. There's no greater game plan adjusting coach in the history of sports, in my opinion, than Belichick. from series to series, you know, quarter to quarter, game to game. He somehow does something with an offense that's, you know, is makeshift.
Yeah.
But was that impressive what they did against the Chargers?
Definitely. Very impressive. Now, the Chargers, you know, with their special teams issues, always find ways to make teams look better. Right. But that's the New England is playing almost perfect football in all three phases of the game for about 5-6 weeks straight now. And that's because of the head coach. That's where, Dan, you and I had the conversation. COVID-19, forget the damn talent on the team or anything. The fact that Belichick couldn't be there coaching them and on them with all the details and all that, that was the biggest issue they had during COVID-19. But the big thing about them, Cam manages the game the right way. The offensive line is one of the best in football as far as running is concerned, and they run the proper plays into the right look every time. And then, you know, their defense and everything there. That Chargers team, it's a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense. To get blown out like that's pretty embarrassing. And I would think Anthony Lynn's a little in trouble there.
But would you rather face the Bills or the Patriots in the postseason?
Oh, the Bills are playing better. You got me stumbling all over myself here. I'd probably want to see the Bills. I probably would. You're right. The Patriots coming to the town with that run game, running the clock, that secondary, and the things they can do there to shut down just about any passing unit in football, I think would be very scary. That's a close one. But I think because of the Patriots' mystique, I'd probably rather see the Bills than the Patriots.
Thank you, Chris. As always, we appreciate you getting up with us.
You the man. I've been up for a while. And tell all those good guys I said hello.
Good guys?
Yeah.
These guys say stuff behind your back, though, Chris.
All right. I take it back. Tell those jerks I said hello.
Okay. That's better. That's better. Thank you. That's Chris Sims on loan from Peacock Pro Football Talk, co-host and, of course, Football Night America. Our best and worst of the weekend coming up after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you're looking for a Christmas gift, look no further than danpatrick.com. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, we got it all for you, and the calendar as well. But you have to order, I believe, by the 18th of the month if you hope to get it by Christmas. Just want to let you know, but go there and browse the website there with a lot of good stuff. Best and worst of the weekend, Todd, my new best friend here in the Man Cave, I'll start with you.
Best and worst of the weekend. Best mainly because I like his name. I'm giving it to Troy sophomore quarterback Gunnar Watson. He led the Troy Trojans to a 29-0 shutout at South Alabama. 34-41, just under 300 yards and three touchdowns. Good job, Gunnar Watson. Worst of the weekend, down 21-0 after the first quarter. Last season's national champion LSU humiliated 55-17 at home against Bama. Tigers allowed 650 total yards, on track to have their worst season in over 20 years.
I think Alabama quarterback Mac Jones is going to join us on the program tomorrow.
He is.
McLovin, best and worst of the weekend.
My best is going to be Raiders tight end Darren Waller became the sixth tight end with a 200-yard game. My worst, and you already mentioned it, the Chargers special team. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yep. Anthony Lynn's not going to survive this. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend was Steve Kornacki. He's the like NBC political guy, and he's the guy who on election night breaks down how every state is doing. Like, oh, right here on this county, we've got 48% of the vote in, but we've got to do whatever. NBC used him this weekend as their playoff analyst, and he did it exactly the same way as he does election night, and it was hilariously awesome because the guy has just such a great delivery, and I thought it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Football Night in America is going to keep him on there in the next couple of weeks, but he's taking the information from Pro Football Focus and then sort of intertwining that with his style, and it's fun, entertaining. Paulie, best and worst.
Backup quarterback for the Indiana Hoosiers, Jack Tuttle, comes in, throws two touchdowns as the Hoosiers take care of the Wisconsin Badgers. And then my Chanticleer is Dan. Coastal Carolina, BYU, Zach Wilson trying to do the comeback. He hits his receiver, Dax Milne, going in for the winning touchdown. Coastal Carolina safety, Mateo Sudipo, grabbed him, wrapped him up, stopped him at the 1 yard line to win the game for the Chanticleers.
And I think he's a freshman, but Zach Wilson, that Heisman campaign is done. He got roughed up in that game. Did not look comfortable at all. And Coastal Carolina went at him. Let's see. Terry in Pennsylvania. Terry, thanks for holding. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP, no problem. Best of the weekend is I made pulled beef barbecue sandwiches on my Traeger grill. The worst of the weekend is they were done just in time for me to lose my appetite watching the Eagles yesterday. I wonder if maybe Jalen Hurts, when he starts next week, will look the same, not being down 20 against a prevent defense. But I think you're right. I guess we have to see what we have.
Yeah, I'm just curious because you're not getting anything out of Wentz right now. And it I think it's going to further ingrain bad habits or, you know, losing his confidence there. Let him stand there on the sidelines. I know it's uncomfortable. As soon as Hurts threw his first touchdown pass as a quarterback in the NFL, they immediately cut to Carson Wentz. And I understand it. That's good TV. But that's got to be pretty tough. Yeah, McLovin.
There's a lot of criticism of GM Howie Roseman. Everyone's doing that wide receiver game. They took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside instead of D.K. Metcalf and Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson. Is it fair to say that like that's one of many problems with
sure.
the Eagles?
Alshon Jeffery should not be out there. I mean, it just shouldn't, for his own preservation. I mean, he should not be out there. They don't have anybody that makes you nervous. You know, Zach Ertz. Didn't they try to trade Zach Ertz earlier in the season? I don't know. It just feels like some significant changes coming up here in the offseason. Yeah, McLovin.
Can I get a little hot takey on the Giants?
Hot takey?
Oh. I have a slightly warm take. Do you want it now or do you want me to tease it?
No.
About their quarterback. I'll give it to you. I think Colt McCoy, in a strange way, gives him a slightly better chance to win because he will never turn the ball over. He's conservative and let the defense win. Is it possible that your Giants are about to go on a really good run with him because of his style, maybe?
I would still rather have Daniel Jones in there making plays. I know that he makes mistakes, but it feels like the ceiling is a lot higher for that offense when he's in there. Colt McCoy knows what his job is, but that defense is giving up 19 points per game. And that defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, has been unbelievable. You know, you're an 11-point underdog in there, and Russell Wilson doesn't have many of those games. That's one of the most frustrating games I've seen in his 9-year career because they put pressure on him all afternoon. And, you know, the Giants' defense can win some games or keep you in some games, and then it's up to that offense to make a couple of plays. And you saw that yesterday. Yeah, Paulie.
The Giants are really screwing up this NFC East thing. We all want someone in the NFC East to only win 6 games. Giants are 5-7. Now they've got Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, Dallas. Seems like they could still win the division with 6 wins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that seems like it would be insurmountable in that division. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll talk to Ian Book coming up next hour. He's the Notre Dame quarterback. I'm looking at his numbers here. He's 30-3. So best career record as a starting quarterback among active quarterbacks. Justin Fields is 18-1. Trevor Lawrence is 33-1. Ian Book, 30-3. The 30 wins tied for the second most among actives, with Lawrence having 33. He's just a winner. That's how he's going to be labeled going into the draft. He's just a winner. That's what he is. He'll get a lot of Russell Wilson comparisons, which is not bad, but similar size, athletic. More phone calls coming up. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly. 2 hours in the books. One more to go on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item in the second hour, Traeger, the wood pellet grill. It's just Fritzy and myself here, Alan the chef, the big German in here, and we had a feast on Friday, plain and simple. That was a feast, huh?
Fantastic.
Yes, it was, and you can do the same thing. What was it,
Muffaletto? Had some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
Something. It was great. With Traeger, it's easy. 6-in-1 versatility. That means you can grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, and barbecue all in one grill. The 6 with one, the one being the Traeger grill. Also, the Traeger Wi-Fi technology. You can set it and forget it. Use your app on the phone, and you can adjust the grill temperature. You can monitor food temperature, set alerts, and also download all the great recipes. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show, or if you have a Traeger dealer near you, Go out and see it for yourself. And don't forget, enter the promo code Dan at checkout for free shipping. Make sure you do it. Friday's the last day to order a grill and get it before Christmas.